Okay, well, one more time, you know what I'm going to say, so please go ahead and just do it. Turn with me, if you will, to Deuteronomy chapter 26, starting in the first verse. It says, "And it shall be when you have come, so ki tavo et ha'eretz asher, the land that I'm going to give you, says Yahuwah, for a possession, for an inheritance, and you possess it, and you dwell therein, oh, then here are some things that are going to happen." And so this is not only a very interesting Torah portion, it's famous for a lot of reasons, primarily the end of the Parsha. It has the most significant set of curses, most folks will argue, in the entire book. It also has some very important blessings, but interestingly, of course, the blessings are not nearly as numerous, or perhaps as terrifying, or at least they should be, as the curses. But what's also interesting, I think, is the way this begins, because it kind of leads up with some things we'd say, oh, can't we just skip over this? Because this doesn't seem to apply anymore. After all, we've been kicked out of the land. And yet, I think when you put it all together, it makes kind of an interesting and maybe even a tragic story. So here we go. When you enter the land and you possess it, you dwell there. All right. "Then you shall take of the first fruits of all the fruit that is on the ground or of the ground, which you shall bring in from your land that Yahuwah your El is giving you. Put it in a basket. Go to the place where Yahuwah your El is going to cause his name to dwell there." So this is one of those things that people are going to do. It looks like it's going to apply to the Feast of Ascension, as it's called. Turns out that the understanding is this will apply to the one that's called Shavuot, the time of the gathering of these first fruits. That makes sense. "You shall come to the priest, the Kohen, that'll be in those days, and say unto him, I have declared, I profess this day unto Yahuwah Eloheka, that I have come into the land which Yahuwah swore to our fathers to give to us." So, essentially, and I like the way Rashi explains this, he says, look, this declaration is that you're not ungrateful, and this fruit is evidence of the fact that you're going to do what he commands. And he is, in fact, reaffirming by making this declaration that Yah has fulfilled his promises. This is the land which he swore to give us. "The Kohen will take that basket out of your hand, set it down before the altar of Yahuwah your El. Then you'll speak and you'll say before Yahuwah." Now, this should sound familiar too, because it sounds awfully much like the declaration that we see at Passover. "A wandering Aramean was my father. He went down into Egypt, into Mitzrayim, and he sojourned there, few in number. And there he became a nation, great, mighty, and powerful, and populous. And the Egyptians, people of Mitzrayim, dealt ill with us. They afflicted us. They laid hard bondage on us. And we cried out to Yahuwah, Elohim of our fathers. And Yahuwah heard our voice. He saw our affliction and our toil and our oppression. And he brought us forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand, with an outstretched arm, great terribleness, and with signs and with wonders. And he brought us to this place. And he's given us this land, a land," and we've heard this before, haven't we? "A land flowing with milk and honey. Now behold, I have brought the first of the fruit of that land, which you, O Yahuwah, have given me." And he says, this is again Moshe speaking, "You'll set it down before Yahuwah your El, and worship before Yahuwah your El." And let me emphasize one more word in this next verse here. This word here, that we see the root word, it's shin mem chet, sameach, simcha, joy. Rejoice. This is the verb form. "You shall rejoice in all the good which Yahuwah your El has given unto you and unto your house, you, the Levite, the stranger that's in the midst of you. When you made an end of tithing, all the tithes of your increase in the third year, which is the year of tithing, and you've given it to the Levite, to the stranger, the fatherless, the widow, that they may eat within your gates and be satisfied, then you shall say before Yahuwah your El, I have put away all the hallowed things, the dedicated things, out of my house." Things that are, it sounds like, dedicated to anything other than Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. "And I've given them unto the Levite, and also I have given things to the Levite, unto the stranger, the fatherless, the widow, according to all the commandment which you've commanded me, and I have not transgressed any of your commandments, nor have I forgotten them. I've not eaten thereof in my mourning, haven't put away from them, being unclean, nor have I given thereof to the dead. I have hearkened to the voice of Yahuwah my El. I've done according to all that you've commanded me. So look forth from your holy habitation, from Hashemayim, and bless your people Israel and the land which you've given us, as you did swear to our fathers, a land flowing with milk and honey. This day Yahuwah your El commands you to do these statutes, ha-hukim, and these ordinances, ha-mishpatim, and you shall therefore observe, shamar, and do them with all your heart, with all your soul. And this is an interesting word. This is one of the few places in the Bible where the linguist will say we see the hefil conjugation. It's kind of unique. You have avouched unto Yahuwah this day to be your El, that you would walk in his ways and keep his statutes, his commandments, and his ordinances, and hearken to his voice. And Yahuwah has avouched to you this day to be his own treasure, as he's promised you, that you should keep all of his commandments. There's a kind of a consistent theme. Have you noticed? We're going to see it really emphasized towards the end of this. Keep his statutes, judgments, and commandments. He makes it clear over and over and over and over again. And to make you, this is part of the promise, high above all the nations that he's made, in praise and in name and in glory, that you may be a holy, a set apart, a kadosh people unto Yahuwah, as he has spoken. Now, chapter 27 says, and Moshe and the elders of Israel then commanded the people, saying, keep all of the commandment. Now, this one is singular. Shamar, keep all this commandment which I command you to this day. And it shall be on the day when you pass over the Jordan River into the land which Yahuwah your El has given you, that you shall set up some great stones, plaster them over with plaster, and write upon them all of the words of this Torah. That word here is not law, it's this instruction. And most of the time that is understood to be this whole book, the thing that Moshe is dictating to him at this point, his instruction, this chapter, or this verse, I'm sorry, this this book, if you will, the Torah. When you passed over, that you may go into the land which Yahuwah has given you, a land flowing with milk and honey, as Yahuwah, Elohim of your fathers, has promised you. And it'll be that when you have passed over the Jordan, you shall set up these stones, which I command you this day, in Mount Ebal. Plaster them with plaster, and there you shall build an altar unto Yahuwah your El, an altar of stones. Don't put an iron tool upon them. Remember, these are to be unhewn stones. And you shall build the altar of Yahuwah your El with unhewn stones. Offer up burnt offerings thereon unto Yahuwah your El, and you'll sacrifice shalamim, peace offerings, and eat there. And here it is again. You shall rejoice, that root simcha, before the face, before Yahuwah your El. And there you shall write upon the stone all of the words of this Torah very plainly. And Moshe and the Kohanim, the priests, the Levites, spoke to all Israel, and they said, keep silent and shamar, O Israel, Shema Israel, this day you have become a people unto Yahuwah your El. And there's an interesting aside here that a lot of times I'll see in the Midrash. Keep silent and hear. You've become a people. And it's not just hear. It's, of course, hearken, listen, and obey. But the key is it's not to obey blindly. It's to obey in love because of all the reasons that are being laid out right here and elsewhere in the Torah. Therefore, he says, you shall hearken to the voice of Yahuwah and do his commandments and his statutes, which I command you this day. And Moshe charged the people that same day, and he said, these shall stand upon Mount Gerizim to bless the people when they pass over the Jordan, when you all do this. Simeon and Levi and Judah, Issachar, Joseph, and Benjamin. So six of the tribes on Mount Gerizim. And these will stand upon Mount Ebal for the curse, to represent the curse, Reuben, Gad, Asher, and Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali. And the Levites shall speak, and they will say to all of the men of Israel with a loud voice. Now here come a first set of, these aren't curses per se, they're cursed bees. And there's kind of an interesting tradition, because at the end of each one of them it says, and all the people shall answer and shall say, Amen. So if you feel like it, and I encourage you to as we go through this, say Amen. Cursed be the man that makes a graven or a molten image, an abomination unto Yahuwah, the work of the hands of the craftsman, and sets it up in secret. And all the people shall answer and say, Amen. Cursed be he that dishonors his father or his mother. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed be he that removes his neighbor's landmark. And all the people shall say, Amen. Now, I'm going to pause at this point, because removes his neighbor's landmark. Essentially, there's a Rashi observation here, and he says essentially all of these things that we're talking about are things done in secret. Some of them actually say it specifically, but if you think about it, this is kind of the one that brings home the point. If you remove your neighbor's landmark, you don't do it openly, at least the intent is to deceive, right? To try to steal some land. So you would figure, yeah, it makes sense. That would be done secretly. Because if the neighbor saw you doing it, he can move it back or complain or essentially do something about it. So this is another one of those that makes a point. These are things done in secret. All right, we'll continue. Cursed be he that makes the blind to go astray in the way. Well, that one's kind of obvious, same thing. And all the people shall say, amen. Cursed be he that perverts the justice due to the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. And all the people shall say, amen. Cursed be he that lies with his father's wife, because he's uncovered his father's skirt. And all the people shall say, amen. Cursed be he that lies with any manner of beast, and all the people shall say, amen. Cursed be he that lies with his sister, the daughter of his father, or the daughter of his mother, and all the people shall say, amen. Cursed be he that lies with his mother-in-law, all the people shall say, amen. Cursed be he that smites his neighbor in secret, and all the people shall say, amen. Cursed be he that takes a bribe to slay an innocent person, and all the people shall say, amen. Cursed be he that does not confirm all of the words of this Torah to do them. Now, wait a second. I'm going to read it again. We'll say amen in a second. But I just want to point out, isn't it interesting that that includes essentially all of the whore church? You ever thought about it? Any church that says the law is done away with, that every single bit of it, from Sabbath to food to you name it, this says, cursed be he that does not confirm all of the words of this Torah to do them. And all the people shall say, amen. Chapter 20. And by the way, I do like the commentary on this one too. You'll find this in a lot of the Midrash. Essentially what they're saying is, this commandment is that we need to strengthen Torah. In other words, we're supposed to understand that his instruction is, in fact, as he says, the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Not one yod or tittle has passed away, because all is not yet fulfilled. Heaven and earth still exist. How many ways does he need to say it? And we're supposed to acknowledge that. And in fact, this says, cursed be he that does not confirm all of the words of this Torah to do them. So I think that is pretty blankety-blank and dramatic, if you will. All right, chapter 28 begins this way. Now, this is going to be the chapter that begins what are called the blessings and the curses. And as I've mentioned, the blessings are important, they're numerous, and unfortunately, they may be passed at this point for a nation that, as we see here, has once upon a time honored these things and no longer does. That's true of most of the world. Chapter 28 says, "And it shall come to pass if..." Eam is the key word here. "If you shall hearken diligently unto the voice of Yehuyarel to observe to do all..." What? You mean all of them? He really means that? He says so, doesn't he? "All of his commandments, which I command you this day, that Yehuyarel will set you on high above all the nations of the earth." That sounds impressive. Matter of fact, you could argue that in the case of the United States, there was a time when that was unquestionably true. And interestingly, it's unquestionably no longer true. "And these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you." Almost sounds to me like you won't even be able to outrun them, although you wouldn't want to, but there you go. "If you shall hearken unto the voice of Yahuwah your El. Blessed you shall be in the city, and blessed you shall be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, and the fruit of your land, and the fruit of your cattle, and the increase of your kine, and the young of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading trough. Blessed you'll be when you come in, and blessed you'll be when you go out. Yahuwah will cause your enemies that rise up against you to be smitten before you. They'll come out against you one way, and they will flee before you seven ways." Now that's interesting, because seven is the number of completion, so that pretty well means that's an end to them. "The Yahuwah will command the blessing with you in your barns, in all that you put your hand to, and he will bless you in the land which Yehuyarel gives you. And Yahuwah will establish you for a holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto you, Eam, if that," in fact, it's really key, "you shall keep the commandments of Yehuyarel and walk in his ways." Another way to put it is, he will do these things because you keep the commandments of Yehuyarel to walk in his ways. And I think that's an interesting distinction. "And all the peoples of the earth will see that the name of Yahuwah is called upon you, and they will be afraid of you." I've heard it said that Americo Vespucci is not the reason why America was named, that it was really America, and that essentially the name of this, country, land, indeed continent, had the name of Yah called upon it. Yahuwah will make you overabundant for good in the fruit of your body, in the fruit of your cattle, in the fruit of your land, in the land which Yahuwah swore unto your fathers to give you. Yahuwah will open to you his good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain of your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hand, and you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. Remember when that was actually true, folks, of the United States? And Yahuwah will make you the head and not the tail, and you will be above only and shall not be beneath. Key that you shall hearken to the commandments of Yehuyarel, which I command you this day, to observe them and to do them. And listen to this one. This sounds kind of important. And you shall not turn aside from any of the words, the Deborim, which I command you this day, not to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. Demonocracy, maybe. But it shall come to pass. Uh-oh, wait a second. Okay, we're going to get a significant change here. But it shall come to pass if, you will not hearken. Won't teach him in the schools, kick him out, won't allow him in the courts, you know, what all the things we're seeing today. In other words, if it's clear to everybody that's paying attention that you hate the voice of the word of Yah and everything about him and his book and you name it. It'll come to pass if you won't hearken under the voice of Yehuriel, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you this day, well then, all of these curses will come upon you and overtake you. You betcha. You will not be able to outrun these. Cursed you shall be in the city. Cursed you shall be in the field. Cursed will be your basket and your kneading trough. You notice this sounds familiar, right? All of the blessings are inverted here. Cursed will be the fruit of your body and the fruit of your land and the increase of your kine and the young of your flock. Cursed you shall be when you come in and cursed you shall be when you go out. Yahuwah will send upon you cursing, discomfiture, rebuke in all that you put your hand to do until you are destroyed and until you perish quickly because of the evil of your doings whereby you have forsaken me. And I read this, folks, I got to be honest. This is pretty well a description of where we are and what's been going on. Yahuwah will make the pestilence cleave to you till he's consumed you from off the land that you're going in to possess it. Now, at this point, I'm going to pause and note this has happened, right? Moshe promised that if you don't do these things, this will happen. You will be exiled. In fact, not only the northern kingdom, southern kingdom, both whoring wives, whore church, whore synagogue, 10 lost tribes, southern tribes, you name it, all guilty, adultery, idolatry, all exiled, all shalak, sent out. But as we go through this, I want to note the things that were blessings seem to have overtaken America, some of the world too, a lot of the rest of the world that walked in obedience while they were in obedience. And doesn't it seem like the curses apply out of the land? I can't help but think that seems to be an indicator here. All right. Yahuwah will make the pestilence cleave unto you until he's consumed you from off the land that you're going to possess. Well, again, we're not there. Yahuwah will smite you with consumption, with fever, with inflammation, fiery heat, drought, blasting, mildew, until they shall pursue, and they shall pursue you until you perish. Your heavens that's over your head will be brass, and the earth that is under you shall be iron. Doesn't sound like it's going to be real conducive to growing crops, and doesn't sound like it's all that different than what we're seeing today. Yahuwah will make the rain of the land powder and dust from heaven, and it shall come down upon you until you are destroyed. Yahuwah will cause you to be smitten before your enemies. You will go out one way against them and shall flee seven ways before them. In other words, complete collapse. And you'll be a horror unto all of the kingdoms of the earth. We're not there yet, but we're sure heading down that direction, right? Your carcasses will be food for the fowls of the air, unto the beasts of the earth, and there'll be no one to frighten them away. Yahuwah will smite you with the boils of Egypt, with the emerods, with the scab, the itch, things from which you cannot be healed. Yahuwah will smite you with madness? Boy, doesn't that ring true today? and with blindness and with astonishment of heart. Flip on CNN, folks, and say, that ain't true, all right? Hardy har. You will grope at noonday as a blind grope in the darkness, and you shall not make your way prosperous. You will only be oppressed and robbed always, and there'll be none to save you. Yeah, if you think FEMA's going to come and do it, good luck. There's a fake god for you. And you shall betroth a wife, and some other guy will lie with her. You'll build a house. You'll not dwell in it. You'll plant a vineyard. You won't use the fruit of it. Your ox will be slain before your eyes. You shall not even eat of it. Your ass will be violently taken away from before your face. You can read that two ways. They're probably both true. And it shall not be restored unto you. Your sheep will be given unto your enemies, and you'll have no one to save you. Your sons and your daughters will be given to another people. Maybe they'll be hauled off to California. Your eyes will look and fail with longing for them all the day, and there will be none in the power of your hand. The fruit of your land, all your labors, shall a nation which you know not. In other words, I don't know, maybe a nation like, as I'm reading this, think about, for example, communist China. See if it doesn't fit. The fruit of your land, your labors, that will be something which a nation that you do not know will eat up. And you shall only be oppressed and crushed always. So that you'll be mad for the sight of your own eyes, which you'll see. Yehul will smite you in the knees and the legs with a sore boil, things from which you can't be healed, from the sole of your foot to the crown of your head. Yehul will bring you and the king that you'll set over you, see now though he may be, unto a nation that you've not known, not you nor your fathers, and there you will serve other gods, wood and stone. And nowadays we could say that would probably include silicon gods too. Isn't that a form of stone? You shall become an astonishment, a proverb, a byword among all the peoples where Yahuwah shall lead you away. As I've mentioned, this has already happened. I will ask the question, is it going to happen again? You'll become not only astonishment and a proverb and so forth, but you'll carry a lot of seed out into the field and gather a little in, because it's the locust that will consume it in this case. You'll plant vineyards and dress them, but you shall neither drink of the wine nor gather the grapes, because a worm will eat those. You'll have olive trees throughout all your borders, but you won't anoint yourself with their oil, because your olives will just drop off. You'll beget sons and daughters, but they won't be yours, because they'll go into captivity. All your trees, the fruit of your land, the locust will possess those. The stranger that is in the midst of you shall mount up. Now listen to this and ask yourself, does this sound like a southern invasion where people that come in get $2,200 a month, but if they burn you out of your land in Maui, you get 700 lousy bucks and you're told go to hell? Think about it, folks. The stranger that is in the midst of you, and they're coming in by the 10,000 a day, according to reports that I think are more trustworthy than you're going to hear from Mayorkas, the stranger that's in the midst of you shall mount up above you higher and higher, and you shall come down lower and lower. He'll lend to you, and you won't lend to him. He will be the head, and you will be the tail. Tell me that's not exactly what we're seeing. And all these curses shall come upon you, and pursue you, and overtake you, till you are destroyed. Why? Key, because you did not hearken, shamar, unto the voice of Yahuwah your El, to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded you. And they shall be upon you for a sign and for a wonder, and upon your seed forever. Because you did not serve Yahuwah your El, get this, with simcha, with joy, with joyfulness, and with gladness of heart, by reason of Rav Kol, the abundance of all things. This was essentially the same reference that was given to Abraham. Yahuwah will bring a nation against you from afar, from the end of the earth, the way a vulture swoops down, a nation whose tongue you will not understand. Now, that was the point I was starting at a couple minutes back with respect to it could be a number of nations, but if you think about communist China and ask yourself, does it fit here? I can't help but think, yeah, it does. A nation of fierce countenance that will not regard the person of the old, nor show favor to the young. As a matter of fact, if you've read some of the stuff out of their generals, they have said openly they intend to kill every last living man, woman, and child in America. And he shall eat the fruit of your cattle, the fruit of your ground, until you are destroyed. And also shall not leave you with corn or wine or oil or the increase of your cattle or your kine or the young of your flock until he has caused you to perish. And he shall besiege you in all your gates until the high and fortified walls come down wherein you did trust. Now, isn't it funny? Here we are in a place where we don't have the high and fortified walls, but we do have something else. What we have a navy that has essentially become the high and fortified walls, right? Projection of power on all the oceans of the earth. Does the rest of this fit? Things in which you trusted throughout all your land and indeed throughout all the world. And he will besiege you in all your gates and throughout all your land which Yehuyarel has given you. And by the way, listen to this and ask yourself, wow, doesn't this ring true too? And you shall eat the fruit of your own body, the flesh of your sons and your daughters whom Yehuyarel has given you in the siege and in the straitness, wherewith your enemies shall straiten you. The man that's tender among you and very delicate, well, his eye will be evil against his brother, and against the wife of his bosom, and even against the remnant of his children that he has remaining, so that he will not give to any of them any of the flesh of his other children whom he will eat. Huh, boy, this sounds pretty nasty, doesn't it? Because he has nothing left him in the siege and in the straitness. In other words, we're talking about a time of famine. Now, the siege, the way that was done, of course, is they would literally surround a walled fortress city and just cut it off. And eventually the people inside there would starve and they would start eating anything and obviously about everything. This is where your enemy will straiten you in all your gates. Meanwhile, it says, the tender and delicate woman among you who wouldn't adventure to set the sole of her foot on the ground because of her delicateness and tenderness. Well, her eye shall be evil against the husband of her bosom and against her son and against her daughter. And against her afterbirth that comes out from between her feet. Whoa. And against all her children whom she shall bear, because she will eat them for one of all things secretly in the siege and the straitness. In other words, she eats her own kids. It's so bad. In your siege and straitness, and this is how the enemy will straiten you in your gates. If, again, you will not observe to do all the words of this Torah that are written in this book, so that you might fear the glorious and fearful name, a name that's been removed from most Bibles, Yahuwah Eloheka. Then Yahuwah will make your plagues wonderful, and the plagues of your seed, great plagues, long continuance, and sore sicknesses, and of long continuance. Now, as I read this, I've pointed this out for, well, at least since about 2020 now, but I'm going to mention it again. Notice what it says here, and ask yourself, does a bioweapon seem to apply to the kind of thing it might be talking about here? All right, especially the second of these next two verses. And he will bring back upon you all the diseases of Egypt, Mitzrayim, that you were really afraid of, and they will cleave unto you. And here we go. Also, every sickness and every plague, which is not even written in this book of the Torah. What would not be written in the book? Well, things that maybe hadn't been unleashed yet. You know, they hadn't grafted the HIV proteins into the spike protein and put them into the nice mRNA-based Zyklon B injections and started poking people with all kinds of things that didn't even exist up until your tax dollars at work and Wuhan and the Ukraine biolabs and Fauci and all the other, bioweapons engineers and traders. Every sickness, every plague, all of these things not even written in the book will Yahuwah bring upon you until you are destroyed. And you shall be left few in number, whereas once upon a time you were like the stars of heaven for multitude, because you didn't hearken, hear, shamar, obey, the voice of Yahuwah Eloheka. And it'll come to pass that just as Yahuwah, in fact, rejoiced over you to do you good and multiply you, so will Yahuwah rejoice over you to cause you to perish, to destroy you, and you'll be plucked off the land that you go in to possess. Again, that has happened, then what? And Yahuwah will scatter you. Here we are. This, folks, is a descriptor of what happened and why we are still where we are. And Yahuwah will scatter you among all the peoples from one end of the earth, even unto the other end of the earth. And there you shall serve other gods, which you've not known, not you nor your fathers, even wood and stone. And nowadays, other variations on the stone, right? Silicon. And among these nations you'll have no repose, and there'll be no rest for the sole of your foot, but Yahuwah will give you a trembling heart, failing eyes, and languishing of soul. And your life will hang in doubt before you, so that you'll fear night and day. That sounds kind of like the plague and plandemic, doesn't it? and you'll have no assurance of your life. In the morning, you'll say, hey, I sure wish it was evening. And in the evening, you'll say, well, I sure wish it were morning, because of the fear in your heart, which you shall fear, and for the sight of your eyes, which you shall see. All kinds of people wearing their masks and being really afraid. And Yahuwah will bring you back into Egypt in ships, by the way, whereof I said unto you, you don't want to go there, you shall not see it again. And there you shall sell yourselves unto your enemies for bondmen and for bondwomen, and no man shall buy you. That's kind of interesting, but what does that mean? Let me ask the question, folks. If you think about bond slavery, the kind that you have to be sold into bondage, well, there's another way people can sell themselves into bondage where no one has to buy them, because they're just basically selling them. What are we talking about? Well, dishonest weights and measures. The Federal Reserve. Fiat dollars that are loaned into existence out of nothing. What we've just read here, you will sell yourselves unto your enemies for bondsmen and bondwomen, and no man shall buy you. That is a description of what G. Edward Griffin called the creature from Jekyll Island, the Federal Reserve, and the bond slavery that now marks a nation that is no longer free. These, it says, are the words of the covenant which Yahuwah commanded Moshe to make with the B'nai Israel there in the land of Moab, beside the covenant which he made with them in Horeb. All right, that ends chapter 28, and we've got eight more verses in the portion here that wrap up this one for this evening. Moshe called unto Kol Israel, and he said to them, you've seen all that Yahuwah did before your eyes in the land of Mitzrayim unto Pharaoh, all of his servants, and unto all of his land, the great trials which your eyes saw, the signs and those great wonders. But Yahuwah has not given you a heart to know and eyes to see, ears to hear, even unto this day. And Moses says, I've led you 40 years here in the wilderness. Your clothes haven't waxen old upon you. The shoe is not waxen old upon your foot. In other words, your sandals haven't worn out. You got all kinds of stuff that's lasted for a long time. You've not eaten bread, nor have you drunk wine or strong drink, that you might know, Ki Ani Yahuwah Eloheka. And when you came into this place, Sihon, king of the Heshbon, Og, king of Bashan, they all came out against us into battle. We smote them. We took their land, and we have it. We gave it for an inheritance unto the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of the Manassehites. So therefore, he says, observe. That word, shamartem, it's the plural, the you-all form of shamar. Observe, hearken, do. The words of this covenant, and do them, that you may make all that you do to prosper.